105.7 ABC Darwin. I don't know what your office space is like, or possibly you're trying to change that at the moment. I know that, what was it, in the 90s, I think, actually, open plan office spaces were the way to go. And are they still the way to go? Are they the most effective way of working? This afternoon, our futurist, Marcus Barber, here with us on 105.7 ABC Darwin. Hello there, Marcus.
Good afternoon, Vicky.
So, here at 105.7 ABC Darwin, we have a big open plan office, and sometimes it works really well for sharing of ideas, and sometimes it gets really annoying because I work with a bunch of people who all have very strong opinions and are very loud. Is that going to change, the open plan?
Oh, gosh, I hope so. Open plan offices are absolutely disastrous.
Oh, really?
They are. They are. They're just an open version of the rats in the maze model that we've had throughout the 1940s and 50s. So it's designed, and this is a fairly strong personal opinion I have. It might come through to the listeners, I don't know. But it's designed in such a way to enable a single manager in a glass-walled environment to look out over his or her dominion and see that all heads are bent down working feverishly at desks.
Have you been into our office? I didn't know that.
They're the same everywhere, Vicky, trust me.
What are the negatives of those spaces? And what are the positives? Because, you know, they created them, obviously, thinking that it was a great idea.
Yeah, the idea was to enable people to see each other more effectively, and I think that had the right sort of tone behind it. But you've picked up the main problem is the noise component. And noise travels in offices because they don't put up the type of materials that can deaden noise. And because of that, you actually get a strong decrease in productivity for your workforce. And the UN rated noise pollution as the second most problematic form of pollution emerging in the world today.
Wow.
Now, when you apply that to inside offices and then say, we want you to be productive, but by the way, we're going to create an environment that is not conducive for you to concentrate on the tasks at hand, it's not too hard to work out what the impact of that is.
So if we look at the future of office work and office spaces, what do you think about? Where do you think we're going?
Ultimately, I think for a much greater proportion of workers, they're going to be operating remotely, and that means probably in their own homes more often than what we have now, particularly when you look at the design of cities where we're still asking people to travel great distances or great time periods to get into a central location. As an office worker, that's really not required. So the establishment of cool zones, and by cool, I mean they're comfortable to sit in and the noise is quite low, where you can go and have a conversation with 3, 4, or 5 of your colleagues without disturbing anyone else or being disturbed by them, is much more likely to be the development of the future. Hot desking is an idea that means no one gets assigned a desk. And that's a flavour of the month at the moment. It's been running for about, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, our finance guy, Tom Petrovsky, does hot desking. Why is that?
Yeah.
Why does that work? Why is that good?
I think that's something to do with Tom's hair. The concept of hot desking is that really the majority of people don't need to be spending their time in the office to get work done. If they're out seeing clients or visiting people or on site, the need to have a permanent space is really just a waste, in much the same way as we have senior executives that have car parking space that just sits there for ages. They don't actually need it. They should all be riding their bikes and feeling far fitter. But that's just on a different topic. So the idea of hot desking, is to maximise the effectiveness and the viability of having a desk space. Generally with laptops, you don't need to be settled anywhere. You can sit in, plug in, do the work, get up and go. And so that space becomes available to someone else, which really minimises the office footprint that you need for a far larger workforce.
Okay. Can I just go back to this idea of cool zones? Usually when we have meetings here, and I'm sure the way things operate here is not that different to how things might operate in other government offices, at least, or even in private businesses. Mm-hmm. When you have meetings, you go into the boss's office. So there's no space for us to actually have meetings in a private space independently of being called into the boss.
Horrendous.
Really?
Absolutely horrendous. And, yeah, it is. People need to be able to have conversations in private with each other, whether they're work-related or not. And this is one of the challenges of the open space environment that doesn't allow that to happen. You want workers to be comfortable, you want your staff to be comfortable, be able to go and have a chat as required for whatever purpose and then get back to their conversations. Now, the alternative to being able to work in an environment that you've just mentioned is that you have to go outside the building to have that conversation. Mm. And if it was a 3-minute conversation that you were going to have, now it becomes 20 minutes or 15 minutes because you've got to plan for that. You've got to exit the building. You've got to have your conversation. You've got to make your way back and get settled and go into work mode again. And that is a ridiculous waste of time when really the office structure needs to enable comfortable, cool, simple places to sit down and have a chat about whatever topic without disturbing others or being disturbed by others.
Okay.
So the final dynamic for the future of office spaces is a flexibility in both design of the premises themselves and a location issue, so that we have flexibility of the design of the workplace, we have flexibility of where that work can take place, we have flexibility within the working hours through which tasks can be undertaken. And across those three elements, you suddenly get a functional workspace that works for much more people at a much lower footprint and is much more effective for the organisation that wants work done by their employees.
The key word there is flexibility.
Yes.
And it's not necessarily something that a lot of managers are willing to embrace. How do you negotiate flexibility when you have a manager who's possibly not wanting you to be flexible?
When I talk to organisations around employment of the future, one of the concepts I talk about is the idea of hairy eyeballs management. And how hairy eyeballs management works is that provided the manager can see the back of someone's head, a la see their hair, they actually make the mistake of believing that that employee must be being effective and productive at the time. And really, that is a model of management that is from the 1780s model that when Wedgwood first made his factory. We still have an overseeing, overlording approach to management.
Yeah.
We need to improve the quality of management and let them understand that they need to trust people to get the work done and give them the chance first of all. And if they take advantage of it, then pull them back into the office and stand over them treat them like 4-year-olds. Otherwise, let people work as they need to get the work done. I don't know if I've been controversial enough there, Vicky, but, you know, that's... So,
Marcus, once again, I think I will give you the power to run the world this afternoon, at least for the next couple of hours, until you can contact every CEO right across the country and let them know how to do it.
Sounds good.
Marcus, we will talk to you again soon.
See you, Vicky. Bye.